Here we are. It's Ohio State Week on the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
And I am Pat Gillick, a.k.a. PJ Spiller.
Attaboy. You're back to PJ Spiller.
That's right.
You've not spilled a drink in a long time, so I'm pretty impressed.
We got to fluctuate. You know, keep it fresh.
Okay, we have to go to the mailbag here.
Uh-oh. Rust, yeah, dig it out of that mailbag.
Here we go.
This comes the Highland Appliance mailbag.
Yeah. Everything you've never expected from an appliance store.
And
this,
more.
This comes from Dave and Jack Zimmerman of Huron, Ohio. Dear Pat and Ryan, the guy you had on last week, Zach Palhida, was awesome. Can you have him on again? So, and then we got another one. This comes from Paul Neuvelman. This out of Maumee, Ohio. He said, Zach was a breath of fresh air. Can you have him on again? So I'm like, you know what? After hearing that, how can we not have him on again?
I know.
And then Keith Dunbar says, sounds just like his old man, Steve Palhida. Can you please put him on? Keith Dunbar, of course, is from Sylvania, Ohio, yeah, by way of Delta.
By way of Delta, exactly.
So anyway, so without further ado, let's welcome in the guy everybody wants to hear, the one, the only, Zach Palhida.
Well, thank you for having me back. I was pretty sure that I was never going to be allowed back on this show.
Oh, no, no, no.
I mean, our standards are real low, Zach.
Yeah, that's good to know.
We'll bring you along for the ride to raise that bar.
That's right. I mean, you got people writing in, you know, the way from Delta via Sylvania, Huron, Ohio. Yeah. I mean, not even in our Toledo DMA.
And Maumee. So, I mean,
just got to build the fan base, man. You know, people want what the people want.
That's right. You got to give them what they want. So anyway, yeah, Zach was on last week when we did our first podcast live on tape before a studio audience, and it went really well. And the Rockets played really well. 55-10, they beat UMass. UMass, not exactly world beater, more like an egg beater.
Exactly. I think it was a good omen when Chuck Ely showed up at our tailgate.
Yes.
And we were doing a live podcast.
I mean,
although I did not get to meet him.
Oh, right. He just smacked me.
Zach nor I or nor Kyle got to meet him, but Ryan, you know, took that bullet and got off the headsets and went over and talked to him.
Somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
If it's I'm a team player.
Hey, way to go, buddy. We appreciate you for that.
Thank you for taking one for the team.
Always happy to have the Wizard of Oz and Oz.
Exactly. We want to thank him and his whole family for checking out our tailgate unfortunately, he had too many commitments to be able to sit down and talk with us on our podcast. But nonetheless, it was great to see the Rocket legend.
And of course, his son, Damon, who played at UT in the mid-90s, they unretired Chuck's number to allow him to wear, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
And by the way, Pat, my arm's still stinging from where you smacked me.
Good.
So. I'll keep
it coming then.
I'm not on blood thinners, so I mean, it's going to be a bruise tomorrow, but at least it was for a good cause. So yeah, Rockets.
So now you know way more than about Ryan than you need to.
I won't go into my blood clots and stuff like that. Yeah, nobody wants to hear that shit. So anyway, yeah, Rockets came out on top last week, like we said, 55-10. What a great after that lackluster performance against LIU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they needed to come out of the gate hot, and they did, which was impressive because previous week it was horrible. The first half was just you felt like you were swimming with your sister. It was just horrible. It had no shine on the new car, you know, the new offense. There was no shine. There was nothing there. They did some things at halftime in that game and came out and redeemed themselves in the second half. But this week, it was great to see them come out and jump on them right away.
Yeah,
first four drives, I believe they scored on.
Yes, and nice balanced rushing attack. I mean, we picked on them first week, not being able to run block, but averaged 6.3 yards a carry, 234 yards. What more can you ask for? Passed for 177 yards. Doing my quick UT math, that's over 400 yards offense once again, and the defense once again shined.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the offense made some adjustments. The offensive line made some adjustments. Not having our two best offensive linemen again this week, the younger guys stepped up, did what they needed to do, and made it work. Again, we're not going against the greatest competition in UMass. I mean, they're ranked 131 out of 131. But
can't get much worse than that.
Well, not only that, but the reps that the offensive line are getting in is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get those reps in. They get that muscle memory. They get you know, their assignments down. They know where they got to be on certain blocks or certain reads. And that's important. I don't care who you're playing. You know, if you've got a warm body across from you, it's going to be important for them to get those reps in. And it's a big step up coming up this week.
Yes. Ohio State, what are they, 3?
Yeah, they dropped down to 3.
You know, back when I was a sports anchor in Dayton, I covered Ohio State. I had to know about them. People ask me, did you watch the Ohio State game the other day? I'm like, I don't get paid to watch them anymore.
That's right.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, C.J. Stroud, great quarterback. So it'd be interesting to see what's going on. But before we get to Ohio State.
No, I'm just saying it's a big step up. Yes. So hopefully they can work some things out in practice this week, or they have been, where they can make the adjustments where, yeah, you've got the scheme down. You've got the blocks down. Now let's tweak it. Let's make it. It's got to be perfect this week, because if they're not perfect on that O-line, and everybody doesn't know where they're supposed to be, you know, the wideouts, the quarterback, if Daquan's not seeing that field like a freaking wizard, if he's not seeing the defensive schemes like a wizard and knowing what's coming, it's going to be ugly. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. You know, we have the fourth ranked defense in the nation. We're 19 spots of ahead of Ohio State in defensive statistics, but our offense has been adequate.
Yep. It's enough to
get the big wins against two lesser opponents.
So, Zach, your thoughts on last week's game against UMass?
Well, we definitely talked about it before in the podcast. Definitely want to come and see them come out firing, you know, really get some offense moving. I enjoyed it a lot more watching this game compared to the first.
Yep.
Our home opener, it was just boring. That first half, it stunk up the stadium.
Like I said, it was like swimming with your sister or kissing your sister. It was like a tie.
It was. And then this week coming out, I just thought we looked a whole different team on the offensive side. Well, you know, we looked like we were pumping on all cylinders, really getting things put together. And like you said, you know, just giving the guys the reps, even though UMass is not a formidable opponent, it's good to get a win, and it's good to get a big win for the confidence. And then it also helps with just having that repetition of playing against different opponents rather than your scout team Monday through Wednesday.
Right. You get different bodies, different reactions to your reads. So it's definitely a step up. But looking at that game, the rushing offense was a little bit more prolific. But do you guys think that's going to be the way that Jason Candle is going to approach the rest of the season, is running back by committee, or is there somebody that's going to step up?
Well, I mean, you look at, you know, Penny Boone, first string.
Right.
Transfer
from Maryland.
Yep. I mean, big guy, big bruising back, bigger than David Llewellyn, who was the last big back we had.
I think somebody brought the stat up. He's actually bigger than Ron Dane was at Wisconsin.
Wow. That's a big one.
Yeah.
But, you know, Willie Shaw, I mean, he has 3 yards of carry against UMass, and it makes you wonder, is Willie Shaw going to be the man? Because I know I was at the Downtown Coach Association 2 weeks ago, and Jason Candle said, you know, if you asked me back in spring practice who our number one tailback was, I'd say Willie Shaw. And against UMass, 8 carries, 47 yards, averaged 5.9 yards of carry, and a touchdown. I mean,
that's pretty damn good.
Yes.
For 8 carries.
Yes, for a guy who is technically second, third string.
Right, so look at the rest of the stats with the running backs. If he thinks he's the guy that's going to shine, why were we progressing through all the... maybe he doesn't have it set in his mind yet that he's going to be the guy, because if you look at the stats, they spread it around quite a bit in the backfield.
Oh, yeah. You had Billy Shaw with 8 carries. Jaquez Stewart, 6. Micah Kelly, 5. Penny Boone, 7. Jordan Lowe had 1.
And who was our leading rusher?
Daquan Finn, once again.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a lot of faith in that backfield right now. I think it's time. I mean, it's a hell of a time to call for it, but someone needs to step up. You're going to go against Ohio State, but if you're brought into this program, you're a D1 athlete. You know, so most of these guys are 3-star, maybe 2-star, maybe. I think Penny Boone might have been a 4-star going into Maryland.
He's 3.
Okay,
yeah.
But it's time for someone to step up.
I definitely think someone Well, I don't think someone will. I hope someone will step up this week, and I think the person that does will end up getting the starting spot for sure, but I think it's time for someone to really take charge in the backfield, especially in the running back position. You know, just take charge and make a mark, and it'll be this week.
Because if you look at the way they played through the last game, there were not that many designed runs for Daquan Finn.
No.
And I kept saying there needs to be more designed plays for him. Mm. Run some RPO.
Yeah.
You know, some design draws. I think there was maybe two or three design draws for him.
I think one of them, he might not have scored on the one, but he definitely got a really big run out of one of the RPOs.
Right, and they are few and far between. Mm-hmm. So the play calling needs some tweaking. We need some backs to step up. We can't put everything on Daquan Finn's shoulders.
No.
He's a great player.
He's a great player, offensive player of the week. You know, for the Rockets, and offense, Mac West player of the week on offense.
Yeah.
So he had a great game, but there's only so much he can carry.
Yeah.
Especially going up against the next two teams. Against Ohio State, you cannot rely on one player like that, that heavily. And San Diego State is a formidable opponent, and we got to go out there and play them the following week. So we need to get some things figured out on offensive backfield soon.
On defensive side, though, got to love Dallas Gant. The pride of St. John's
comes here via Columbus and the Ohio State Buckeyes.
And I don't know if you saw Toledo Blade this week had a nice write up about him, about how he appreciates his time down there. He got his degree down there.
Oh, yeah.
Down at Ohio State.
Very classy
answer. And he said he appreciates all the time he spent down there. He had 9 tackles. 20 tackles for the year total.
Yeah, 20 tackles for the year in 2 weeks. And that's twice as many as he had in the Scarlet and Gray down in Columbus for his 4 year or his years down there.
And you know, Dan Bolden, I mean, God bless him. I mean, once again, season ended injury on the first game. I mean, missed all last year during the injury he suffered during camp. So the fact that Dallas Gant got the start because Dan Bolden went out, and it's nice to have an Ohio State guy come in, step in, and that's a nice backup to have.
He's a Toledo guy now. Yeah. Former Ohio State guy. But it's great to you're right. It's great to see him come in at that level and show the intensity that got him recruited to Ohio State. Yeah,
perform the way that he should be performing. And what I really love is when you look at kids that come out of Toledo, you know, and you want them to do great at the schools they go to, whether they're out of town or wherever. I just love the fact that a lot of them come back and end up playing here at Toledo. Or I shouldn't say a lot, but, you know, Bryant Kobach went to Kentucky, came back, and then he did amazing here at Toledo, now playing for the Minnesota Vikings on the practice squad. Dallas Gant went to Ohio State. Now he's back here in Toledo. And I think something about coming home and playing for your home city, your hometown, I think it brings a whole new element to the respect and the level of play you're willing to give, because these are your people. So I think Dallas Gant's going to be lights out this year. He's going to be our guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's showing up in front of all his family, all his friends. And that gives these guys an extra nudge of confidence. It gives them the extra inspiration they need to go out there and get that job done. Whereas, you know, he might have 30, 40 people here in the crowd for him. And in Columbus, he had maybe, you know, 5, 8, 10 people down there.
Yeah, who knows? You know, family, close relatives.
Right.
Well, even if you're a St. John's fan, you remember him playing there. You're going to come out and support him.
The guys that graduated with him, they're going to go out there.
Guys that played with him on the same team. You know, kids, the whole nine yards. Even teachers, you know.
Sure.
So I think he's going to be lights out this year on our defensive side.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back at that game, our linebacking crew is coming along really well. We had Jackson Barrow performed really well on special teams. There was a play on a kickoff return where the return man came up, tried to hurdle one of our guys, and Jackson Barrow caught him in midair and just drilled him and laid him down.
Yeah.
And I believe he was runner-up for Mac West Special Teams Player of the Week because he had so many great plays on special teams. And Jackson Barrow is on the verge of starting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you know, in certain formations, certain situations, he come in and be a fourth linebacker or a Mike or something. A Mike linebacker or something.
Put him in the rotation.
And, you know, so we've got these guys waiting in the wings. Our defense is definitely loaded.
I do worry about one aspect of our defense, losing some good DBs last year to the NFL. I mean, I think our new guys coming in are going to step up. I'm still waiting for Maxim Hook to really put an impact on the game. He's been a little quiet.
He has been, but
here's the thing that's great. He hasn't had to do much.
No, because the defense is so outstanding.
Yeah, we gave up 17 yards passing last week.
We are the number two defense in the nation in passing yards allowed. We've allowed 43 yards. I'm sorry, 116 yards in two games. Only Tulane has beaten us out, and they played UMass the week before us.
And I think it's hard to pass against us because of the pressure that we're putting on a quarterback quickly with our defensive line.
Our defensive line is quick, and our linebackers are covering the middle and filling the holes where they need to on the line.
Yeah, you're not coming across the middle. There's not going to be any quick passes. I mean, the only way you're going to pass against us is quick, but the way our core is set up on that defense, our linebackers.
Well, and our backers are quick to get to the outside to cover the screens. Mm-hmm. They're covering tunnel screens, you know. So the quickness is what is shining. And even though we lost two great defensive backs in Womack and Anderson, both in the NFL now, Womack starting.
Yeah, Womack was amazing.
We had a lot of guys. We lost a guy in the transfer portal too.
Oh, he went to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost a guy?
Was his name Turner? I'm sorry, we don't have that here.
Yeah.
At our fingertips. But yeah,
you know what? Here's what I'll do. 2:00 this morning, I'll wake up, think about it. I'll text Kyle, tell him to put it in, add it into the podcast, edit that shit in.
There you go.
So I'd be remiss if we didn't mention Rourke Freeburg. You're wondering who in the hell is Rourke Freeburg? Transfer from Arizona, the Wildcats, led the team in tackles. He tied with Dallas Gant this past week. He had 9 total tackles, 2 solo, 7 assists. So I mean. Nice little addition there.
Wait a minute. His name is what?
Rourke Freeburg.
Rourke is, first of all, an amazing first name.
What a name.
And Freeburg.
If I leave here tomorrow. I'm
gonna fly high.
I think that name is a star name.
Yeah, that has got to be on the ESPN list of best college football player names.
And there's no changing of the name. That is his actual Rourke
Freeburg.
Name.
Is he from Germany? Because that sounds very, very
Rourke
German.
Freeburg?
Did he go to high school in Germany?
Well, ironically, I'm looking at his bio right here. His dad played baseball at Grand Canyon University, where my oldest daughter, Aislinn, went.
And she's an alumnus.
Yes, and he was a fifth-round draft pick in the Major League Draft by the Colorado Rockies.
Wow.
Of course, his name's Ryan. Can't be all bad.
Oh, his dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know about that one, Ryan.
It's up for debate.
Well, I mean, I'm a little biased.
It might be.
Yeah.
Just a slight.
So anyway, yeah, what a great outing he had. 6'2", 215 pounds out of Desert Mountain High School in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's in his MBA right now. So
his MBA.
Yeah, not NBA.
I was going to say, if his dad's a major league player, he plays football and he's going for the NBA. Well, we got a stud.
What a talent.
Studs.
Heck yeah.
A little different.
Yeah.
We're missing the NHL.
What did he end up with?
9 tackles.
9 tackles. Nice.
2 solo, 7 assists. So
I'm wondering, did he play? He must have been in the second half. So I didn't hear his name a lot.
Mm-mm. Of course, we had a few cocktails in us.
Oh, there might have been that.
And let's go back to that game real quick. This is the last thing, and then we'll move on to Ohio State. Okay, everybody, the Simba cam. Anybody's been at the Glass Bowl, they know the Simba cam. So they show the audience, hoping people pick up their babies. Well, all of a sudden, Zach picks my fat ass up, and Pat grabs my legs. There's nachos everywhere. We still need to get on the camera, but makes for a great story.
We lifted him up for the Simba cam, and then Zach and I looked at each other and said, there's no damn cameras on this side of the stadium. hell are we doing? Well, dropped his ass on the bench.
Like flex cam or this or that. You know, just put me on the big screen, you know?
Yeah. And I got your funky dance on cam, by the way.
Every time I look, I'm like, there is not a single camera over here.
Nobody's filming that side.
The crazy thing is the diehards that have sitting in that section that we sit in have been there for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't care.
They loved it.
That is a diehard section where we're at. It's all UT people, and it's like the same
Well, you know those are faculty seats.
Are they really? How are we sitting in those seats? Because
they never show up.
They don't.
Faculty. Well, your old man got them.
Yeah. He used to have like 12 or 15 seats right there.
Is that it?
Just that, yeah.
That's all.
No. Well, because he used to go and just, you need a ticket, you need a ticket.
And so he was like Oprah.
He was like Oprah for UT tickets.
Ticket for you.
A stack of them.
And you get a ticket, you get a ticket, you get a ticket.
And he was, you know, it was back when tickets were still paper. Mm-hmm. And so every once in a while he'd fumble around and they would fall down and they were all still connected. And it was like a meter long,
like a clown pulling stuff out of his nose.
And they just string down. It's like, oh, wow.
There you go.
Yeah. So we look forward to the Ohio State game now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So hopefully they're having intense practices this week. There are things that need to be worked on. Yes.
And Zach, you've know some guys on the team. Excuse me. On the team.
I know a good handful now, actually.
Yeah, because, he graduated with some, went to high school.
Yep.
So, yeah, they've got some things to work on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the O-line is making that patchwork line
come together.
I think after last game, they are.
Yeah. I think the O-line, the big thing is it's a team inside a team.
Right.
You know, those guys are still figuring each other out to figure out their scheme.
I mean, you look at our producer, Kyle W. Smith. He still hangs out with his best buddy from his O-line in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, that whole O-line are all still good friends, as far as I know.
It's a family inside a family. I was an offensive lineman, even though I'm tiny, I was. And all
your dad was a nose tackle at 5'6", 175 pounds.
I
played
defensive line, too. You know, right. I was nose, but. That's just, there's something different. And so I think UT's offensive line, you know, we had Berg and Tyler Long starting off practice this year. Berg went down, Tyler Long went down. And those are your two guys that are veterans. You know, there are 1 and 2. When they go down, you know, maybe they kept the team together, especially because Tyler Long was starting center. And your center is your biggest piece. You know, that guy, he starts with the ball. He keeps everything together. Losing him, I think it brings a lot.
Right.
Well, look at Bryce Harris 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Getting hurt during training camp. And, ended up 7-6 a year. Didn't make a bowl game.
So, yeah, I think they're definitely putting some together this week. I think the offensive line will come out. And, I don't know, Ohio State's defensive line is going to definitely do their best. But if we can be who we need to be, and we can be who we are as the UT football, I think our offensive line will hold up just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can average 6.3 yards a carry again.
Yeah, if we can do that.
We just got to keep Ohio State's offense off the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't want our defense getting all worn out.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. That's why I was stressing so much. We need to find our identity as a running team. We need to have someone step up. I don't think this running back by committee can keep Ohio State's offense off the field.
Yeah. I definitely want to see Penny step up, being a Maryland transfer, being a bowling ball of a guy. I want to see him just run people over.
And again, mm-hmm. I hate to harp on it, but it comes back to play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. we're not setting up the run. We're not using the run to set up the pass.
Yeah.
And then we're not setting up, you know, using the pass to set up the run.
Yeah.
And that's something we've always done in the past. We had Kareem Hunt. We had Terry Swanson. We had Brian Kobach. You know, we had all
David Fluellen.
David Fluellen. We had all the, and we would do both. We'd set up the run with the pass, and we'd set up the pass with the run.
Yeah.
And I don't see that. I don't see that variance.
You look back to 2011, last time we made a trip to Columbus. I'm going to harp on it again. Still pisses me the hell off.
Oh, I am still
27-22, 14 penalties for Toledo, 2 for Ohio State, right. And you know. It was just a
huge disparity in penalties.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's a homer thing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that's a homer thing, especially if they have Big Ten refs.
And
you know,
they were.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a directive from the commission or anything, but they're just going to have that bias being a Big Ten team. Oh, this is just a little, you know, little Toledo.
Game, no one's going to care. Like,
yeah,
let's make sure.
And yet we're on the 11-yard line, down by 5, one time expired. Yeah, yeah. There was some clock management mm-hmm. issues, but the penalties definitely played a factor into that.
But you get back, getting back to that 2011, we had a somewhat of a running back by committee back then. Adonis Thomas, great year. Yes. But that was the last time I think we didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, in a full season. Right. You can't count COVID year.
Right, yeah. Right. No.
So, but anyway, Adonis Thomas, and I want to say Morgan Williams was still on that team. I mean, nice little 1-2 punch, but, you know, if we can have somebody step up in this game, it'd be huge.
We bring it back to present day. We've got to have, you know, whether it's Penny Boone or one of the other guys, someone needs to step up. I think if the running back coach is not in their face all this week saying, to each one of them, I need something out of you. I need something out of you.
Cole.
Yeah, Dan Cole. If he's not in their face every day, each one of them, I need something out of you.
And I'm not worried, or I should say, I don't care who it is. I want to see any of them. Someone
step up,
take the initiative, and really put the hammer down.
You were brought here for a reason. I mean, you were good enough to be a D1 running back. You were all 3-star athletes.
Yeah.
You know what? It's time to shine.
And look, Toledo might not be your Ohio State, your Alabama, but we are a good football school.
No, we are ranked in number one or two in the group of five.
Yeah, we are a good football
school. As far as, you know, mid-major programs this week. And again, it goes back to the competition we played against. But if we have a good showing, not going to go out on a limb and say we're going to win this game, but if we come out and hold them and we're respectable and we make this a good game, it's going to be... It'll do wonders for this program this year. Yeah. So, by the way, before we move on any longer, I just want to give a shout out to CDaddy60 on Twitter. That's Tyler Long's dad.
Oh, yeah. Craig.
Craig Long just started following our podcast on Twitter, and just wanted to give a shout out to him saying thank you.
It's a great guy.
Great guy. I grew up knowing him. Awesome guy.
And tell your friends.
I am definitely spreading the word. It's so funny. All my buddies are like, wait, you were on a podcast? And I was like, well, kind of, sort of, you know, I kind of just sat down and put the headset on. You know, I wasn't invited, but.
Well, it's funny because, you know, back when, right before I met Pat, I was sports director at WXUT. I told you a story the other day. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, we have 3 sportscasts a day. You got to get people in here. So I'm like, okay. I got Drew Chambers. I got Steve Pauhida. And then I think you finally came in. We got you in there. And it's like, you know, so you might just have a little bit of your dad's blood in him. Not just look like him, sound like him, but maybe the old sportscaster bug.
He's got the old DNA.
I do have the DNA.
You know, we look back at the Ohio State Toledo history. First game, 1998. Here's the thing I remember about this. Toledo. Year before that, we talked about this in the podcast on Saturday. Beat the shit out of Purdue. 36-22 at the Glass Bowl. Drew Brees, I'm going to say it once again, Drew Brees got in the fourth quarter of that game. And so Pat's going to leave us right now. He's got to see a man about a horse. I always wanted to say that. Is that the right
That is the right terminology.
Thank you. Thanks, Pat.
I've never heard that.
So anyway, yeah, so... We beat them, and we were 8-0, ranked 18th in the nation, ended up losing to Ball State, dropped out of the top 25.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Next year, we go down to Columbus, and we told the story about your dad. I'm not going to go into all that. But yeah, Rockets lose 49-0 to number 2 Ohio State at the time, and they're just loaded with talent. So then the next time we play, we're 0-3 against Ohio State. Next time we play... was 2009 up at Cleveland Stadium.
Yeah, well, I remember that.
After we beat the crap out of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost 38-0.
That was a rough game.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was cold that day. It was pretty miserable in that stadium, especially as a Rocket fan.
Yeah, it ended up getting... I mean, it was sunny, but it ended up being colder. And then 2011, of course, 27-22. But you look back at the how we do against... Power Big five, schools. So-called Power Five teams, 3-3 against Purdue.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty damn good.
Pretty good for a
for a MAC school.
Exactly. And I remember that first game, 1992. I was a sports anchor in Johnstown, PA. I was covering Penn State Temple, and I remember listening to the Penn State radio network, brought to you by the Pennsylvania Dairy Farmers, and coming back and hearing they beat them. Boy, don't. Don't quote me on this, 32-29. I mean, it was a close game. Rusty Hanna, big field goal at the end to win it. And I just remember thinking, that was so cool. We finally beat a Big Ten team. First time ever. And then, you know, we go to Penn State, 2000, beat them 24-6. Next year, we beat Minnesota, beat the living hell out of them, 38-7. Chester Taylor, 140 yards. I remember sitting in the last row of the upper deck on the east side and just thinking how cool that experience was. And then Pitt comes in 2 years later. We beat them, beat Kansas, Iowa State, Michigan, Colorado, Purdue once again out there, thanks to Austin Danton.
Don't forget Arkansas.
Arkansas. 2015. Yes, Temple. I mean, here's the deal. They were ranked 24th. We beat them down the Boca Raton Bowl. We beat Cincinnati up here. They were ranked 18th back in 2012. We moved into the top 25 after that win. So, and I remember missing that game because my buddy's sister, I'm not going to mention any names, but she had her wedding that day, and we thought, we better go to that wedding.
You know, you always hear MAC schools, especially, you know, UT, giant killers.
Yes. Exactly.
That's what we do.
And I, looking around different outlets, Ohio State outlets, they're giving us respect. I mean,
that's nice to hear.
You know, they're giving us respect that we're the second best pass defense in the nation. You know, we gave up a total of 10 points combined in our first two games, tied for second best in the nation. 5 points allowed per game so far this year. It is a great number. And the Rockets, you know, they've been suffocating on the pass. They've allowed an average of 58 yards a game. And back to the whole DB thing we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys were basically second stringers last year, and they stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, they're number two in the nation for a reason. Again, our opponents have not been amazing, but hey, numbers are numbers.
Numbers are numbers.
You know, they're D1, whether it's FCS or FBS.
And even if your opponents aren't amazing, people still can show up and play. We have lost to small schools. And we have beat big schools. So even if they aren't the best opponents in the nation, that shouldn't even be a huge deal because they could still show up and kick our butt.
Here's the best thing. We have not lost to an FCS / 1AA opponent since 1988. I don't think any other MAC school can say that.
Hey, look, man, I was born in 2000. So.
I mean, that's a great stat, but looking at this game coming up, one of our...
Your dad and I were roommates back the last time that... They lost to an FCS school. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're good. Looking at this game coming up, one of our weaknesses on defense is the run game. We rank 64th in the country. We're giving up 125.5 yards on the ground.
Which still isn't horrible.
But, you know, we're middle of the pack. And coming in against Ohio State that has Trevion Henderson and another prolific back whose name escapes me right now is something we have to look at.
You're talking about our offensive run.
No, our defensive run stopping. We're ranked 64th in the nation.
I would think we would have been better than that.
No, we've given up 125 and a half yards a game.
A game?
Against two.
Unformidable.
Yeah. I mean, coming in, I think UMass against Tulane put up 180 yards rushing. So we held them under Tulane's stats, but Tulane is ranked number one in the nation or number two in the nation in total defense.
Oh, wow.
So we have some work to do on the run stop, and that comes back to the linebackers. The D line is getting great pressure, but the linebackers, safeties, your Mike linebackers got to come up, and we've got to contain that run because Ohio State is a complete package.
Yeah.
They run the ball, they throw the ball, you know.
Their offense is going to be definitely our biggest challenge in this game.
And that's one of the things that scares me is the run defense. Just because we're very talented on defense. It's just a matter, again, of the guys need to step up that
I've
been put in that position to do so.
I'm looking forward to this, though, because I think our guys that need to step up will. I think Judge Culpepper and Maxim Hook that have been quiet this year. I think they play good against big opponents. So I think they're going to step up. We already know Dallas Gant's going to be there waiting.
Yeah.
We know
Jamal Hines
is going to be ready to
Deontay Johnson.
All of them. They're going to be ready to eat. But I think the kids that have been quiet so far, they just haven't had the pressure to perform because they know Jamal Hines or Dallas Gant.
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay, they're going to have their back. Whereas this game, everyone has to be shine. On their A game.
They've got
to
shine.
And I think
it's
they will.
It's got to be a complete package. And not just on defense. I mean, we need a total team effort. Special teams, offense, defense. Everyone has got to be on point.
Yeah, I would like to see our special teams do something.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
they've been good, but I would like to see.
We haven't had a chance for a lot of big returns on kickoff returns or punt returns.
I mean, this last week, UMass, their punter just could not get the ball. My buddy Adam Beal is our punt returner. Really quick, shifty, smaller guy. I don't think he got to catch one punt other than I think he had one
fair
catch.
Nice little return.
He had one return.
Did he? I was not coherent for that.
Second half, he had one return.
Two returns, 16 yards.
Oh, two returns. All right. Oh,
yeah. Well, the one was a fair catch for sure.
No, he had several fair catches.
So. Yeah, he did have a nice little 10-yarder.
Good for him. I think I remember that now that we're talking about
it. Yeah, 10 and 6, I think.
But I would definitely like to see our special teams.
That might have been about the time you were dancing.
Yeah, it might have been.
You know, sometimes the dancing feet come on, you know.
But, I mean, we need to have big games from our kickers, our punters. Our punter is the Australian that we talked about a couple weeks ago with Bailey Flint.
Yes, I mean, a 26-year-old freshman.
26-year-old freshman, and Bailey Flint graduated as a 26-year-old fifth-year senior. So
Jonathan Batsky.
He did a nice job last week. He put the punts where they needed to be. This week, he's got to maintain that. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling our Thomas Clucky is going to get a lot of action.
You know Clucky. He is ready to roll.
He's
man.
Solid.
That
he's
kid solid. Is solid.
He's got it. You know, he's got to be on point because I have a feeling we're not going to be super tight on red zone this week.
I definitely think, though, like, you know, special teams and defense, I think they're both going to perform the way we want them to in the long run. I think our biggest worry should be the offense.
So, yeah, that's what it comes down to. Do we all agree that it's going to be on the offense's shoulders?
It all starts with the line, but it also starts with the play calling. Man, we have to give our players the calls that we, you know, like you said earlier, if we don't set up with the run to get the pass or vice versa, it's not going to be great. And also, if you have certain players on the field, we need to be playing we need to be calling calls that favor them. Don't give Penny an outside pass or, you know, a little
flare pass.
He is a bowling ball. Put that man down the center.
I think one of the things that I noticed, we're doing a lot of traps, counter trays, you know, stuff that's 18, 20 years old.
Just need to do a straight head blocking.
And it doesn't suit our offense with the offensive line we have.
No.
You know, we've got to do some tunnel screens, some bubble screens. When's the last time that Campbell has called a bubble screen? That used to be Campbell's and
bread and butter
and Beckman's bread and butter. We did that all the time, and we've got the quick receivers to do it. When's the last
Devin Maddox here?
When's the last time we saw a jet sweep?
I haven't, you know, and I don't think we call enough not trick plays, but something more diverse. Intricate, you know, where it's not just one guy, here's the ball, do what you can.
A jet sweep, a fake jet sweep, and then you give it, you know, off to one of your running backs, just so we're keeping them guessing, and we're predictable.
Keep them on their toes like a midget at a urinal.
You know, and maybe, you know, maybe, just maybe, that Candle and our offensive coordinators are trying to minimize the coverage of what we want to do against Ohio State.
Maybe they haven't been calling the plays.
It's a long shot.
Right. No, that's very,
because you think Ohio State's our big opponent this year, other than, you know,
the MAC, obviously.
Other than the MAC, you know, I don't care if we lose to Ohio State. I just want a good game. Now, if we lose to BG,
they have been, you know, keeping their cards close to the vest.
Coming into these first two games that these guys aren't going to be anything crazy special, and we can afford to be more straight up and down
conservative.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this kid, 21 years old, wise beyond his years.
Yeah, that's what you get with a former player.
That's right.
Yeah,
former Springfield Blue Devil.
There you go.
Yeah, I wasn't very good at football, but...
So,
but you know what you're talking about.
Let's get around to predictions now.
31.5 point spread.
I think that's... Vegas knows their stuff, but I think that's in doubt. because the last five games against the MAC, Ohio State has not covered the spread.
No, and I'm a gambling man, so I don't think they're going to cover.
They haven't covered a spread this year yet.
Mm-mm.
Our defense is lights out.
Yeah,
we got to keep we got to keep our offense on the field. And I think that spread is way too much. I am predicting a 32-24
I like that.
Victory That's by good. Ohio State.
That's a good prediction. What are you thinking, Rocket?
I'm looking at 21-10.
21-10. Ohio State or Rockets?
Ohio State.
So, as my father, little Steve Ohio jingling
you're,
up
you're
here.
You're getting a little guidance from above.
I'm feeling a little ding-a-ling. Boom, boom, boom. So, I'm going to predict a mild scoring game. I'm going to predict 21-24 UT Rockets.
Wow. Oh. There you go.
Someone has to do it.
So, that's right, baby. Get out there on that limb. And yeah, I'm maintain out there. That status.
I'm out there.
I hope you're right.
I'm not saying I'm going to put $10,000 on that.
No, but
but here on a podcast.
For our purposes here.
I feel, we are due.
So we're going to shock the world.
We are. And,
I love the confidence.
When this comes out and that happens, I just want to say, I said it first.
I'm sorry, I'm not putting up $5,000 for you.
No, I'm... Yeah, I love the Rockets.
I might put up $10.
It's a bad bet, brother.
No, it's a bad bet. It's a bad bet, but I love the confidence. I love the confidence.
So not to bring this down or anything, but...
But here we go.
But the day of the game will be the five-year anniversary of Steve Pahida's death.
Yeah.
Zach's dad.
Yep.
Motorcycle accident, just driving along Central Avenue, and just an awful day in a lot of our lives. And like we said, it's just ironic that the game is played...
On
5 years, yeah.
5 years from his accident on that day.
That guidance from above.
It's
maybe.
Maybe something, man. Like we were talking last week, you got any two-way tickets to hell? Because honestly, he's going to be raising hell in heaven.
That's right.
Because exactly. This is, he loved the underdog.
What was the stat you gave us last week? He did not miss a game.
He didn't miss a game for almost 5 years. It would have been 5 years.
Living in New York.
So he lived.
I do remember he had to miss one game. It was probably before that 5 years. He had to go to Germany for business.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So he was working for himself for 2 years in that 5 year span. So he could do whatever. But before that, he didn't miss one game for 5 years, just about home or away, living and working in New York City like a madman. I mean, if you ever seen this man, he would be driving to Arkansas while he's shaving his face on his laptop, working, making a business call, and watching another football game on TV.
No distracted driving at all.
No, right. Doing 95 as Ryan's in the back yelling, "Do you want a beer?" I mean,
but at least he has knees to steer
with. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But it's called multitasking.
Something about that, man. He was so committed to going to every game.
And that's what we loved about him.
Yeah. And his favorite thing was when we played these big teams. Because I think he was at just about every big win when we played a big team like this. He was there.
Yeah, I mean, he went out to Boise. He went out to Colorado.
He didn't miss, man. Arkansas, I still have the Razorback towel. Some lady said, "Here, take this.
It's crying towel.
Wipe your tears when this game's over." And my dad held on to it, and he was like, "If I can only find her."
Oh, I want to give it back to her.
Wipe your tears.
Exactly, bitch.
One of my favorite stories was, real quickly, not a big team, but it was Wyoming.
Yeah.
Your dad flew into Denver,
mm-hmm.
got himself a car. It was like 80 degrees. It was a convertible. He's driving up in the mountains. He pulls into the parking lot in Wyoming. It was like 40 degrees. He had a heater on with the top down.
And knowing him, he was probably shirtless and shorts.
Right, right.
And a smile on his face.
And screaming, T-O-L.
T-O. Yeah, or HUD, or run, whatever. But
yeah, watch the fake.
Yeah.
Oh, run the ball.
Over the head. All the things he yelled, man. And you know what was great is when he would yell at every play, but when it came true, it just felt magic.
So good.
It was like, he just called that.
Exactly.
The eternal optimist.
We hope he's watching from above. I'm sure he's going to have a front row seat.
Oh.
Just watching and enjoying and slipping a little of that Powhida magic down to the Rockets.
You never know. He might be kicking someone in the butt so they're in the right hole at the right time.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, that sounds like a good place to wrap up this episode.
Yes.
I think you're right.
All right.
Awesome.
So for all of you out there that are listening, we hope to see you in Columbus. We will be tailgating down there, but we're going to keep our location secret as of now. But anyway,
you know what though? If you look for the 31 Powhida flag,
if you see it,
come on over.
Come on over and say hi. Otherwise, we'll see you in the stands at the shoe cheering on our Rockets.
On behalf of Kyle W. Smith, our engineer producer extraordinaire, Zach Powhida, I'm Rocket Ryan.
And I'm Pat Gillick. Have a great day, everybody.
T-O-L.
E-D-O. E-D-O.